Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio. Located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to this edition of the Hagman Report. It is Monday, August 5th, 2024. Monday. How do you feel about that? Eric the Tech, Monday. Did you have a good weekend?
Feels like one.
It does, doesn't it? You know, I got to tell you, we had a lot of stuff going on this weekend, so including and especially a very fine meeting of our supporters, interactive meeting of our supporters yesterday, last evening at 7 o'clock. We do that once a month, and we interact during this, the supporters of this platform, and I appreciate every one of you, and I thank every one of you. It was a good meeting. A lot got discussed, a lot of interaction, and some good things. So, again, I appreciate all of you. But now, today, we're going to have John Moore coming up here shortly. But before John Moore arrives here, a couple of things. I mean, there's no shortage of news, to be certain. You've got World War III, looming in the horizon, on the horizon, or immediate horizon, I suppose and suspect. You've got a lot of global activities taking place, including but not limited to the New Zealand draft plan for not just lockdowns, but for actual extractions of family members under the auspices of a plandemic. You've got the UK on fire by individuals that are sick and tired of paying for the illegal invasion. I saw a video over the weekend. Michael Yon, friend of the show, friend of mine, is in Okinawa, and he was saying, you know, words matter, and I have to second this. We have to call this for what it is, and we have been doing it, but I would urge everyone to do this. This is an invasion at our southern border. We are watching this take place in real time, and the person behind this, at least the face of this right now, is Mattress Back Harris, Kamala Harris. And we need to focus on what is really the purpose of this invasion. I'm sure I'm going to be talking with John Moore about that. A few other things, too, that are in the offing. I don't know how many people saw this. There was a former Army sniper that appeared with Patrick Bet-David during on his program. And Eric the Tech, I just sent this to you. It's untitled. But this Army sniper was saying, look, there will be. So I'm almost certain there will be another assassination attempt. Well, he's one of many to say against President Trump, and he's one of many to say that very thing. And I think anyone with any reasonable sense of awareness, in fact, believes that another attempt will happen, and it could come in any form, whether it's a bullet, a knife, a bomb. I mean, there are no shortages of how this could take place. The global entity blob, whatever you want to call it, is out to stop not just President Trump, but is out to stop the America First agenda any way they can. The plugs have been pulled, and I'm telling you right now, it is going to just ratchet up between now and Election Day. And from Election Day onward, it's not going to stop. As a matter of fact, I do have a short video or a video segment of a longer video about the funding behind the chaos that we're seeing take place on American streets. And ye may be surprised to learn that the funding on this domestically, and I do suspect internationally, but specifically domestically, is part of the funding is through the recently passed Inflation Reduction Act. I don't know how many people saw this exclusive press conference or presentation by this one individual along with a senator. I'm telling you, it once you follow the money, you can see who's behind the uprisings, or the planned chaos. Whether it be the, remember the George Floyd protest riots, same people, again, behind those as to what we're seeing today. So we've, and we have, of course, really bad economic news. Now, there was a headline, it's likely going to be a rough day on Wall Street. Okay. Wall Street is likely to have a bloodbath today. Yeah, well, the first warning signs, and here it is from Town Hall. If you take a look at this, and the link will be in the program, in the show notes, at HagmanPI.com. But the first warning signs to what's happening today, and folks, look, this is not like a, this is not, I don't believe this is the crash. I mean, I think it's, this is off the cliff going down that into the abyss, but we're far from the bottom here. We're going to hit a lot of bumps on the way down. I could be wrong. I'm not an economist. But I'm just saying that they want to crash the global economy, not just the U.S., but the global economy. And this could be the first inclination of that. Sunday night, all hell broke loose in Asia. Now, again, this is against the backdrop of the tensions between China and Taiwan. This is, against the backdrop of Ukraine and Russia, as well as the new events taking place in the Middle East, as well as domestic unrest in the U.S., but specifically and even more appropriately, the U.K., Venezuela, and other locations. Venezuela over the sham elections, and the U.K. over the invasion. But the Nikkei index had its worst day since 1987. You can check this out on Town Hall, sinking nearly 4,000 points. It suspended trading after sinking 8%, almost 8%. South Korea's stock exchange halted all sell orders as a looming wave of brutality is expected to hit Wall Street this morning. That's according to this article, and we're seeing that take place. Again, ups and downs, micro ups and downs. Well, we have to look at that, but, where is it headed in the long term? So U.S. stock futures fell Sunday night following a very volatile week for Wall Street, in which the NASDAQ composite dropped into correction territory. Again, this is planned. This is by design. Donald Trump had said this was going to happen. You've got an absent or AWOL president right now, essentially absent and AWOL. You've got a DEI hire vice president who is really hamstrung, I believe hamstrung, by her cognitive, in this case, not impairment, but her limitations, being a DEI placement. And they are stuck with that and rebranding Harris right now. But the S&P 500 also posted a third straight losing week, down 2% for the week. But the real issue, too, affecting you and I are the prices in the grocery store, the job market, the real estate market. Folks, I'm going to tell you right now, it's not going to get any better. And you had a jobs report come out this month, for last month, which I don't have with me. I'm just watching this, where the numbers had to be adjusted upward in terms of the unemployed jobs, the unemployed numbers. the jobs that are being filled are being filled by the illegal invaders coming into this country, which is something that the press won't tell you. So, folks, if you get a chance, read this article. I'm not going to read it, obviously, but read that article and you will see where this will potentially take us in the short term. Now, okay, that was page one of the show notes. One thing I just want to touch on, and this really encapsulates a lot in my view, this one statement. Julie Kelly has been on so many different issues and right on the money with so many different issues, whether it be January 6th or the lawfare against President Trump or the assassination attempt of Donald Trump in Butler. She has been right on so many things, correct on so many things, and at the forefront of reporting on this. When I saw this video, and this video is pretty lengthy. This was an interview with Epic Times. When I saw this, I went back to February of this year. Okay. In this interview, she talks about the pipe bomb. And she says something in a minute, 25 seconds, about 5 minutes into the discussion, that really stuck with me. And I want to play this for you. It's a minute, 25. I want to play this for you. And listen to what she's got to say, because this is the larger template. This is the larger, this, as some say, this could be the buried lead here. And this is important for people to really understand. I think she hits it out of the park in this minute and a half section. So go ahead, and if we can play the cut from video one. This is, by the way, this is about January 6th, the new scandals, new January 6th scandals. But again, this one section really tells a bigger tale.
But I think the bigger question for a lot of people is why the Capitol grounds and the building itself was so intentionally vulnerable and unsecure. And I think that raises questions in people's mind that this was purposeful, that they wanted to leave the building and the grounds unprotected to draw in tens of thousands of Trump supporters where Congress was going to be debating the election results. And I think in many ways they got the outcome that they wanted, which was using the violence that day, using people going into the building to shut down the proceedings. And then when Congress reconvened, the plans to debate the outcome in swing states, contested states, basically ended, and they certified the election on January 7th. Other people call it a Fedsurrection. We know what this government is capable of doing to Donald Trump and people tied to him. And the idea that they had no involvement, despite what we know now, intelligence warnings, they had multiple police departments on the ground that day, uniformed and not uniformed, undercover. They had FBI informants run into these so-called militia groups. So if they had all of this foreknowledge and they had informants and you had officers, why did this happen?
Your argument here is that given there was a...
You know, that would be worth watching, folks, that entire interview. Again, that was about January 6th. And Julie Kelly did state, and this is going back to February, okay? So understand, this is prior to really a decade's worth of headlines, but specifically about January 6th, the lies associated with January 6th. And the reason this is important is because... Well, two reasons, I believe, two main reasons. Number one, the January 6th narrative has never left the political sphere. It's being used as a baseball bat, as a club, by the legacy, soon-to-be irrelevant media, whether it's CNN, ABC, NBC, CBS, MSNBC especially, as a... political talking point for the election of 2024. It's also being used to inflame people like those intent on assassination, against President Donald Trump. It's being used as a talking point by many TV programs, such as The View and some other late-night comedians. But there's another reason here that we have to pay attention to this, because if you heard what she said, and rather than referencing January 6th, which, again, is still in play here, the parallels between January 6th and the Trump assassination plot and what happened on July 13th of this year, it seems like it was torn or ripped from the same piece of fabric, doesn't it, when you think about it? Pay attention to this. I did write an article exclusive to the Wisconsin Christian News that will be coming out here shortly of the direct links between January 6th and the assassination plot and what happened on July 13th against President Trump. And the parallels are extremely telling, in my view. They're where you saw a stand down of potential, of law enforcement and National Guard on January 6th of 2021, we also saw, and I do believe that this will come into the mainstream here in a couple of weeks, perhaps, we saw a stand down in Butler. Now, what kind of stand down am I referring to in Butler? There are different levels of stand down, and perhaps stand down might not be the exact phrase that would be necessarily operative, but a lack of assets to protect a presidential candidate, and perhaps, well, not perhaps, the person who has the biggest footprint of anyone in the U.S. and the biggest threat profile. I'm just saying. I should add, certainly go to WisconsinChristianNews.com, folks. I'm telling you what, that's a great paper. It comes out monthly. You can get it digitally or buy the paper copy. But I'm going to tell you what, help them out. Keep them in business to the best you can, as best you can. It's a great publication. A couple of other things here. I mentioned about the UK, about England, about what is happening with respect to the invasion. There is absolute blowback against the government in the UK by the people of the UK. You've got mobs going around in the UK looking for people, looking for Christians, and really engaging in jihad on the streets. Meanwhile, you've got the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom threatening anyone who retaliates, anyone who demonstrates. Sounds a lot like here, doesn't it? So what we're seeing in the UK sounds a lot like what we're about to see in the US. And it's all being timed in the run-up for the election and in the days after the election as well. You can see the political operatives with the on the left engaged in this. I just want to hit two videos before I bring John on. Let's go with the... In fact, Alex Jones... On his platform, he addresses UK's burning European Lives Matter, of course. This is video 5 in the show notes. I'd like to play this, and then in a few moments, we'll bring John on. Video 5. It's coming. Long weekend. Rough weekend. Sorry about that. These videos, by the way, at their source, are very difficult to integrate smoothly into the platform. We apologize for that. Here it is.
In 1997, we got our first Muslim MP. In 2001, we had two Muslim MPs. In 2005, we had four Muslim MPs. Inshallah, in 2009-10, we'll have eight Muslim MPs. In 2014, we'll have 16 Muslim MPs. At this rate, the whole Parliament will be Muslim. But just to say, in case there are journalists here today, that is not my objective. But you know, we've got four Muslim MPs. There should be 20 Muslim MPs in Parliament. And inshallah, very shortly we'll see that. And I'm confident, as Britain's first Muslim minister, that inshallah, in the next 30 years or so, we'll see a prime minister in this country who happens to share my faith.
You know what's sick? Their cultures can't even operate because they're so evil. And then we just roll over when we've got everything and just say, take it all and destroy us.
So when he said, Shalid Malik, we will have a prime minister that shares our faith. Mark my words, you can bring this video up in 4 years' time.
Like you, I was shocked and angered at the killing of George Floyd and the response of President Trump and the US authorities to the peaceful protests, to people rightly demanding justice.
Nationwide unrest sparked by the police killing of George Floyd could lead to the highest insurance payout of its kind in history. Damage from looting and arson will cost $1 to $2 billion in claims. That's according to the Insurance Information Institute, and that would eclipse the previous high, the 1992 riots that followed the acquittal of four officers in the beating of Rodney King.
We must face up to and understand and address the systemic racial discrimination that exists in our own communities. The Labour Party stands with black communities in our country and across the world because black lives matter.
Black lives do matter. However, after a year on the inside, I learned they had little concern for rebuilding black families.
I also think that we are trained Marxists.
We see a protest gathering saying absolutely no more. The problem then is there's 200 police essentially there to instigate problems, and then we have another problem on top of the lies and the deceit and that which everyone is so very tired of. What happened to those three little girls and those people that have been hurt was, it's not the final nail in the coffin, that was years ago. We deserve answers, and at the moment law enforcement spending millions on policing what doesn't need it at all. Hundreds of police, that's there to inflame, that's there to heighten, and again it causes these multiple layers of problems. We need honesty and transparency.
I just need you to understand we're not against you guys.
We all understand. Appreciate that, what you're doing. Thank you.
Are these people being radicalized? Anjem Chowdhury, he got his life, he got his court date, now he's got life. Does he have sleeper terrorist cells all over the UK? Law enforcement might know about it. MI5 know about it. What motivation have they got to tell the British public, oh, by the way, they've got us by the balls, so we have to placate them? Well, that's just going to bring along civil unrest, because in Britain, we hold a number of cultural values. One of them is law and order, alongside Christianity, for example. We hold law and order to account, and we're being lied to. Who are these people doing these attacks? Why is there so much information that could be considered misinformation, for example? We've got to give these people answers. Otherwise, fathers, concerned citizen patriots are going to behave in a certain way. And the nail in the coffin wasn't even that incident. It's years ago.
Sunderland's burning.
If you look at an interview by one of the leading Al-Qaeda operatives years ago, and they give their plan for Europe, and in their plan from Europe, they predict the American invasion of the Middle East, and then they say that the next invasion, which will be Syria, our forces will be too weak because of the previous ones, and they'll be able to establish a caliphate. And then when it gets to 2016, it says the Islamic invading army will invade Europe, and at the start of 2016, attack the women. What happened on New Year's Eve in 2016? 2,000 women were attacked in Cologne.
Traitors in Western governments have laid out a blueprint to capitulate to Islam, bring it in, make all other Western freedom end to, quote, serve them.
When they break the law, you enforce the law. But in the minute we don't, we let them do what they want. When you try to enforce the law, you realise you can't. I sat down with my local imam when I spoke about the figures for Luton. And I said to him,
You can watch the rest. Go, click on the link in the show notes, thehagmanpi.com. Thanks for bringing that up. I know that was difficult. The reason I wanted that played is to give you the backdrop against what's happening in the UK and what will be taking place. And I believe this to be the case, really at any time now, between now and the day of election, in addition to just a number of things that the leftist, communist, globalists have planned for us. It's not going to be an uneventful time between now and, well, over the next 90 days and forward from November 5th. I can just about guarantee you that there will be additional attempts on Donald Trump's life. I can guarantee you that the January 6th, whatever you want to call that persecution of individuals, is going to be widened. Julie Kelly, in the interview that I did play, said that in February, they were on track to arrest one person a day between now and the end of Biden's term or Harris's term, whichever it might be, bringing the total, Matthew Graves said this, to over 2,000. So even if you essentially even thought or spoke about January 6th, you are a domestic violent extremist. You'll be classified and treated as such. If you speak out against the illegal invasion, you are a domestic violent extremist. If you say anything about the LGBTQ plus, again, you're marked as a domestic violent extremist. And one last thing, just real quick. I can get into this with John, but did you know that there is a watch list called Quiet Skies? And this is Orwellian practice by the DOJ, by the DHS. In action, Quiet Skies. Tulsi Gabbard was added to this Quiet Skies terror watch list and has, I'm not making this up, wherever she flies, she is assigned or on that plane. Roughly 3 federal air marshals are assigned to watch her. This, and by no means is she alone in this. I don't know if they have enough federal air marshals to cover everyone who they deem to be a threat. So all of this combined, this chaos, and it is the chaos that they they're striving for. This is their playbook, nothing but chaos. Until the lockdowns, until they take us from our homes, Harris also said, we are going to take your weapons and we're going to take your guns. This is what they have planned for us. And folks, don't underestimate. Just because you see a lot of crowds at the Trump rallies and you see a lot of signs for President Trump and a lot of support, don't underestimate what the communist, and I mean communist left, is doing right now and intends to do. All right, with me is John Moore, thelibertyman.com. Folks, go to thelibertyman.com, bookmark his website, and listen to him. He's got a fantastic show every weekday. I'm telling you, this guy is a machine. Celebrated his first anniversary. It was a while ago. To a new bride. He's got some pretty cool wheels. And the guy is a legend. He is as an investigator in the military and, again, as a talk show host, John Moore. John, how are you, sir?
Be illegals. Doug, good to be here.
It's good to have you, man. Thanks for being patient with me. I just want to set the groundwork for today. I think we're in a very, very precarious situation with where we're at. Not just domestically, but even to our north and globally, and to our south as well, but globally, with the new violence, with Iran promising to attack Israel, with the global economy, with the promise of chaos between now and the election and thereafter, with the communist left taking over the Democratic Party and installing a, really nobody voted for her, coronation of mattress back Harris. And here we are. So what's on your radar? And maybe it's more or maybe it's something different. What have you been talking about?
Well, you covered a lot of topics here in that few minutes there, Doug. Since you spent a lot of time on Islam, let's talk about that a bit.
Yeah. You were one of the first along, I mean, this platform, but you were one of the first to really address that subject, because that's part and parcel to this invasion. I mean, it's not all Islam, but obviously, but it's a very...
Well, I'll tell you a personal story. You know, my deceased wife, Dr. Marianne Moore, she was a chiropractor. She was invited by some Baha'is. Now, Baha'i is known as the quote-unquote peace movement of the Islamic world. There's many thousands of Americans who have converted to the Baha'i religion. So people that invited her were all native-born Americans. There was nobody from the Middle East. So she went to this meeting, and she comes back, and she says, well, honey, they're such wonderful people. They're peace-loving, gentle people, and I want to go back again. And I said, honey, you should do that, but I want you to ask a couple of questions. She agreed to do so. First question, what is the goal of the Baha'i religion? Number one. Question number two, how do you intend to achieve that goal? And the third question, what will you do with those who don't agree to go along with it? And of course, I'm not there. I'm hoping that the Baha'i people she's meeting with will be honest and truthful, and turned out they were. So the goal of the Baha'i religion, which is part of Islam, is to convert everybody on the planet to the Baha'i religion. That's goal number one. Question number two, how do they intend to do that? With peaceful, loving methods. Truthful answer. Question number three, what do you intend to do with those who won't go along with that? And I answer truthfully. Listen carefully. We will kill them. Now, this is the most peaceful part of Islam, which compared to the others, quite frankly, is peaceful. But quite frankly, Doug, Islam is not compatible with Western society, with Western culture, for many, many reasons. Many reasons. It's a religion of pedophilia. It's a religion of murder. It's a religion of domination of women. It's a religion that murders homosexuals, for example. A religion where it's quite normal and accepted to marry 9-year-old girls. It's a religion where marrying your first cousin and having babies with your first cousin is normal and accepted. It's a religion where having up to 5 wives, if you can afford them, is normal and accepted. There's nothing peaceful about Islam.
Let me ask you this, because Europe held back the Muslim invasion in centuries ago, Gates of Vienna, 1683, I think.
The Battle of Vienna.
Battle of Vienna. But what we're seeing in Europe is a full-on Muslim onslaught.
It is.
Okay.
It is, absolutely.
Now, what we're seeing here in the States seems to be more of a nebulous invasion.
For the time being.
For the time being. Okay, thank you. Go ahead and continue.
Okay, well... During my career, I became a private investigator in 1973, and I've worked with every police agency you can imagine, from small-town police departments to FBI agents on different cases. A couple of my contacts in St. Louis County Police in particular, have informed me that there's a mosque in St. Louis County, South County in particular, where young adult male Muslims go into the mosque early afternoon. They come out 3 hours, 4 hours later, all beat up and bloody. They're obviously practicing full force martial arts, getting ready for jihad. Now, there's a lot of rabbit trails we can go down, some of which are rather disgusting, some of which are kind of fun. Let's start with a fun one first. If a Muslim man dies waging jihad, he's instantly in the Muslim heaven with 72 virgins. Well, it took me a while to find out, but I finally did my research. I found out who the 72 virgins are. They're 9-year-old girls. And so forever, the jihadist can have sex with these 72 girls who are virgins who never defecate, never urinate, by the way. And after the sex act is over, they instantly become virgins again. Now, here's where the fun part is. What happens to a female Muslim who dies waging jihad, Doug? Do you know what happens?
Oh, do tell.
They get to be one of the 72 nine-year-old virgins forever. That's their reward in heaven.
Huh.
Isn't that special?
Isn't that special?
It is special.
Yeah, you know.
Here's another fun. One of my neighbors, he built million-dollar-plus homes in Metro Chicago until he came down here to the Ozarks. So he's working with an architect on this million-dollar-plus Muslim home in Chicagoland. He's looking over the blueprints, and he says, oh, Mr. Architect, there's no toilet paper holders in the bathrooms. There's five bathrooms. There's no toilet paper holders. And the architect says, no, that's not a mistake. These people don't use toilet paper.
That's right.
What they do, it's rather disgusting.
No, but it is. You go to the Chicago airport, and believe me, yes, it is. Go ahead.
Well, here's what they do, and I'll keep it as polite as I can. They use their left hand and plain water to wipe their bottoms. And when they're done, they go to the sink, and they rinse off the left hand with no soap. And they're done. Now, here's the point, ladies and gentlemen. If you ever go into a restaurant and you see Muslims there, just politely decline to order any food, turn around and walk out. You cannot possibly have hygienically clean hands under those conditions. It's not possible, Doug. It simply isn't.
Well, you know, even beyond the cultural aspect, which I have to say, you know, that whole thing is disgusting. Believe me.
I thought that was normal.
I don't remember eating that. Right. Yeah. Right. Never mind. Sorry.
That's why there's no toilet paper at the studio.
Yeah. It's all in the storage closet. Even beyond the cultural incompatibility, far beyond that. Now I got taken off track by Eric the Tech and whispering in my ears.
Well, let me help you out here, Doug. When the Egyptian military staged a coup, it's been 20-something years ago, and they took over the country.
Yes.
Now, the oldest Muslim university on the planet is in Egypt. They went to the university, and they said, gentlemen, you will no longer teach that cannibalism is okay, which is what they were doing. The cannibalism is okay under Islam, and they were ordered by the generals of the Egyptian army, who, by the way, spent a lot of time in the United States being trained by Americans and learning what's really great about the American culture. But they ordered the imams in charge of university to no longer teach that cannibalism is an accepted practice in Islam.
Well, invite your neighbor over for dinner. Yeah. I did recall what I was going to say. You know, okay, so beyond that cultural aspect, people might be surprised. First of all, to your point about Egypt, remember when Obama was first elected, where did he deliver his first speech? And that was at the University of Cairo.
Right.
Okay. But even before Obama, and people don't realize this, the Bush dynasty, the Bush years subsequent to 2001, they wiped clean all of our military manuals of any reference of jihad, any reference Islam is bad. People might recall, hey, jihad's good. Jihad means a struggle. And it could be a struggle for excellence and whatever. It was a bunch of hooey. But also, and here's the big thing, the FBI, what they did during the Bush years was allow Muslims to infiltrate the training centers. In fact, one big, I spoke about this last week, one of the biggest unindicted co-conspirators, and he was on the terror watch list, was invited to take part of the civilian training program in the FBI at Quantico and given access to all of the inside secrets, all of the internal documentation. And this is under Bush. So what's happening today has been happening for at least 20 years, if not longer. Go ahead.
Right. Well, here's the bottom line when it comes to Islam. Islam is incompatible with Western civilization. The two cultures cannot coexist peacefully. It cannot be done. Nothing that they say publicly will change the underlying fact that their goal is worldwide conquest by any means necessary. Islam allows them to lie to accomplish their goal. The Catholic Church is engaged in merging with Islam. I've personally seen, and myself with my own two eyes, notices on the doors of Catholic churches announcing social events between Muslims and Catholics. This is unacceptable, Doug. It's absolutely unacceptable. We have freedom of religion in the United States. However, we do not allow religions that are violent to practice their religions in this country. We don't, which at least we shouldn't, but we are.
So, John, let me tap into your expertise here. How is this playing out? Okay, we know that the Islamic movement, the global movement, is global conquest. We know that. So how does this fit in with the invasion to our south? We know that we have Venezuelan gangs. We have the worst of the worst people.
Here's how it does. There's a coalition.
Okay.
The coalition is the socialists, communists, Democrats, Muslims.
Okay.
They're working together to achieve a common goal. Now, how long the coalition will last after they achieve their goal, I don't know. But that is the coalition. Now, authorities are finding abandoned Qurans, abandoned Muslim prayer rugs on the southern border. When they enter this country, they drop that stuff off for whatever reason. I guess they don't want to be identified as Muslims. But that is the coalition, and they will cooperate together. They will work together to achieve the common goal of destroying the United States and conquering us, Doug.
You know, I reported this on that very, very fact that Islamic artifacts were found at the southern border. I reported on that in 2006. That's when I started, and the most heat I got was from the right, not from the left, but from the right, from Republicans, from I couldn't even go on. This is back when Coast to Coast had various other hosts for their weekend programming. I was disinvited because I had dared mention that. Okay, and a lot of people don't know that. Now, that again, that's not the way it is today, but it was back then. So, okay. So we're seeing this play out. And this is the big issue, like you saw right now in the UK. But they're more than Muslims. But again, as you pointed out, this is part of a new global or a larger global plan. All right. Cool. Not cool. Good. Go ahead.
The majority of Americans believe there's two kinds of Islam. Well, we have the president of Turkey, President Erdogan, saying, quote unquote, there's just Islam. There's no radical Islam. There's no moderate Islam. There's just Islam. And when you're the president of Turkey and you're a Muslim, I think we better wake up and smell the coffee. What do you think, Doug?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, yeah. And you know, we lack right now any leadership in this country, and the void, the vacuum that we're experiencing from the power from the DC power is extremely dangerous. And what's going on right now, and this kind of leads me into this, what we're seeing right now with Iran coming out and saying, hey, we've got nuclear, we're a nuclear power, essentially. I'm paraphrasing something that was said by one of the Iranian leaders. Now, Iran is using Hezbollah and China and Russia, Hamas, and other people in Jordan, Lebanon especially, against Israel. So, I mean, this is going to be a huge mega war that we're about
ready to see. Well, I've tried it at least three times before. I was I was put on 24-hour alert to go to Israel just in between a couple of those wars. Thank goodness. That was a 6th Special Forces group at Fort Bragg. We all knew it would be a one-way trip. But I have another personal story for everybody here. For 7 years, I was with the Charles Shaw Law Firm in St. Louis. Mr. Shaw was voted the best criminal defense attorney in the eastern part of Missouri for decades. There was a film made about his World War II adventures at the Great Escape, where he was based on his book, where he escaped from German POW camps 5 times. Anyway, there was a fairly notorious case in St. Louis where a Muslim mother and father murdered their teenage daughter in their kitchen. They were suspects of terrorism, so the FBI recorded the entire murder taking place in their kitchen. The Shaw Law Firm had one of the two parents, I don't recall which one, it wasn't my case, but they had the defense of one of the parents. The mother held the daughter while the father stabbed her to death while she was screaming and pleading for her life. Now, that's just one of hundreds of examples of what's called honor killings. All this girl did was want to spend time with a teenage boy who was not a Muslim. That was her crime that sentenced her to death. And her parents were held in great esteem and in high regard by the Muslim community because they murdered this girl in her kitchen. Now, that's just another aspect of Islam. And it's not taking place in the Middle East. It's taking place right here in St. Louis cities. In addition to female genital mutilation, another common accepted practice where the girls, she could be 8 or 9 years old, she has her clitoris surgically removed by non-professionals without anesthesia so that she can never, ever experience the normal pleasure a woman normally experiences while having sex. Still another accepted normal practice within the Muslim community, Doug.
You know, this reminds me when this platform, when we as an investigative agency were working with the federal government, back in February of 2011, again, what you mentioned brings this to the forefront. Back in February of 2011, we had conducted investigations of terror cells in Western New York, including and especially those relative to the Lackawanna Six. People might remember that, and the Lackawanna terror plot. Well, we had turned over to the FBI a number of names, including a guy by the name of Muzamil Hassan. And again, this is just a story from you could look this up, a story from our past. Hassan was the CEO, the founder of something called Bridges Television, Bridges TV, based in just outside of Buffalo, New York. And in February, okay, we had turned his name over to the federal government saying, look, there's a problem here. In fact, I had contacted him, I think it was in late 2010, for an interview. In February of 2011, he was arrested for beheading his wife, and I'm sorry to say this, but using her head as a soccer ball in the studio. Okay, that's what happened. And I was visited by an FBI agent right after that, or before that, I'm sorry, after we submitted the name and before that killing. And his picture was one of two given to me and said, hey, if you ever run into this guy, you better be careful because he's not liking the attention you're giving to the television station and to his outreach efforts in the Islamic community in Western New York. And I say that because the threat has only increased over the last, well, what is it now, 14 years, 13 years?
13 years, yeah.
So, like you said, I mean, so we're not paying enough attention to this toxic mix intentionally a toxic mix of cultures. Go ahead.
Well, going back to, we like analogies, World War II. We had two main enemies. The Italians really hardly count because they didn't have much of a military, but we had the Germans and the Japanese. German soldiers, typically, there were exceptions. Typically, once they knew that they were surrounded, that they had no chance of victory, they would surrender peacefully to the American troops. That's what happened most of the time. There were exceptions. The Japanese, however, were similar to the Muslims in the fact that they were looking forward to dying and bleeding for the emperor.
Yeah.
In fact, that was their... They would shout blood for the emperor when they were going into battle. When you're facing an enemy that's looking forward to dying, that's a really tough enemy. Typically, when my war, the Viet Cong, typically did not do that. They would surrender if given the opportunity. The Japanese, however, World War II, were known to be ready to die on behalf of their emperor, which they held as a deity, as a god, a living god. And that's what the Muslims are. They look forward to dying for Muhammad, who they regard as a prophet of God. Muhammad, who was a personally committed murderer. Muhammad, who married a seven-year-old girl, but he did the right thing. He didn't have sex with her until she was nine. A man who married five women. This is their perfect man,
yeah.
A murderer, pedophile, bigamist. That's the perfect man.
And many are copying that template, especially those adherent to the doctrine, the true doctrine of Islam. And I just want to mention this.
The Hadith.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
the Hadith.
It was 2009. My apologies. I'd stand corrected as opposed to 2011, but nonetheless, same facts, same thing. So, okay, so we're seeing this take place, especially right now in the UK. And you saw that video, you saw Tommy Robinson speaking out against all of this. Where do you think this is headed in the UK? And will there be blowback here? And again, regardless if it is just strictly Islam, but the communist backbone of this invasion in Europe, as well as here in the U.S.
Well, it's what the Brits, the British men used to be alpha male warriors.
Yeah,
past tense used to be. They've been disarmed. All they've got left for weapons is garden tools, basically, or a big knife from their kitchen. So they've been disarmed. I think it may be too late for the Brits. The number of Muslims in England may be to the point where they can't really stop it peacefully. The only way to stop it with violence would be extreme violence. They have, I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of Muslims that have been born and raised in the country. They have a British accent, but they're Muslims.
That's right.
Yeah. And they... Because of their of the culture of Islam, they cannot be integrated into English society to become, just like in this country, to become productive members of English society. Now, let's give a couple of details. A large percentage, it may be the large percentage of Muslims in England, are from Pakistan. Now, here's where it gets better. The average IQ of Pakistan, I think, is 69, which means... With this kind of, if you're looking at percentages here, there's as many with a 59 IQ as there is with a 79 IQ. Now, 70 is borderline retarded, which means half the adults of their Pakistan descent in England, they cannot possibly have a normal productive job in society. They can do something very simple under careful supervision, and that's about all they could do. Maybe a sheltered workshop type environment where they're packing things for shipping in styrofoam peanuts under supervision.
Yeah,
that's about it.
To keep them from eating the peanuts, a couple of points lower and you're going to have to water them like a plant. But
right.
Yeah, I get
now,
that.
entry level for in most industrialized society would be a custodian. Now, I've seen and personally picked up and read the warning labels that come with some of the very dangerous chemicals that custodians routinely use in the profession of being a custodian. Things that will flat kill you if used improperly. Somebody with a retarded IQ cannot possibly absorb the information and use these chemicals safely. So they can't even successfully be a custodian except under careful moment-to-moment supervision by somebody who actually has a normal IQ and can read.
Yeah, I mean, folks, these are facts. You can look them up, of course. Be careful where you look them up because you're not going to be told the truth given all of this AI. Go ahead.
Well, Doug, let's take an 18-year-old young man. He's been born in England. His parents are both Pakistani. He has a 70 IQ, and he's healthy, normal otherwise. By the time he's 18 or 19 years old, he's probably figured out that he can never possibly acquire skill sets to be a productive member of society. What does that leave? That leaves being on the dole or being a criminal. That's the two choices this young man has because he can never acquire the skill sets to be a normal, productive member of any Western civilization because he simply doesn't have the IQ to do it.
And I sense
you think
that.
You think he might just be really angry? If he's back in Pakistan, he can be a goat herder. He doesn't need a high IQ for that. There's probably dozens of jobs for a low IQ man or woman in Pakistan that they can do. But in Western civilization, those jobs barely exist.
100% agree with you on that. All right.
Let's take it a step further.
Go ahead.
We just had three little girls murdered by most likely a low IQ Muslim.
Yes.
I don't know if he was, but the percentages are in that favor. He was a low IQ Muslim, very likely angry at his parents, angry at growing up in a society where he can never integrate and achieve the normal societal goals of being a productive member of society with a normal job with a normal paycheck. And of course, I don't know the details of this young man, but very likely that's the case, Doug.
Do you see a how could I put this? Do you see a parallel? A parallel between, for example, you've got some mass murderers out there. We saw the Fort Hood shooting, the killing.
Major Hassan.
Yes.
Well, there's a personal connection there.
Go on.
I had a Caribbean cruise with about a dozen of my listeners. One of them was the former Marine, at Fort Hood, who was a professional photographer. So he's at the first location where Hassan started murdering people. He didn't have a gun, but what he did was trace Hassan's footsteps and murdering people with his camera, doing a complete photographic documentation of what Hassan was doing at Fort Hood.
Here's my question. Okay, so why didn't he have a gun? He's on a military base. He's active.
Well, you know,
right? Go on.
He was a former Marine, a civilian.
Okay, go on.
And even active duty military personnel are not allowed to have firearms except under special circumstances. So when Hassan was finally apprehended, listener was taken into custody for half a day until they figured out he wasn't part of the terrorist operation.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. A real tragic situation, and he's got to live with that the rest of his life, that he could do nothing but observe and photograph, which is what he did.
Well, okay, and I'm looking at the larger issue here. I think you've got that Islamic threat that we face here. We've been facing. We saw that in part on 9/11. We saw it with the coal prior to that. But when you on a larger plane, I suppose, when we're looking at different things, you're seeing this pattern develop. and of shooters, of murderers, of, I mean, again, we would have a lot of people still alive today, Lake and Riley, and many, many, many others alive today, if it weren't for this invasion of our country. So do you see parallels between what we've been working on from the Islamic side to today with other than Muslims? How's that? I mean, do you see any parallels there?
Oh, in terms of other invaders, you mean? Like,
yeah, I mean, I know what the motivation is, you know. I mean, the ideological motivations behind the conquering Muslim army, I get that. But now you've got this invasion where you've got gang members and others coming across, and really some bad, as Donald Trump would say, bad hombres. Are there?
Well, I got something that'll help everybody here, Doug.
Go ahead.
It's been, let's see, this is 2024. I'm going to say I think my wife is still alive, Dr. Moore. So it may have been 2017 or 2018. Not that the year matters. There was a meeting of leaders from every country south of our border, or their proxies, except El Salvador, who is, was and still is an ally, in Chicago. We're pretty sure that the KGB, which is now the FSU, I believe, was in charge of security so tight that at this meeting room, this building, that even our best efforts from the NSA and the FBI could not record what was going taking place there. There's only two choices of why these high-level officials from south of our border would be meeting in Chicago. One, and it could have been a combination of the two. One was to split up the drug trade and the drug trade money, which is certainly a high possibility. The other was to decide on the details of the invasion of the United States, how it would take place, and how the booty that would be recovered would be split up between these countries. I verified this through three independent sources that don't know each other, Doug. So it was a real deal.
Wow. Okay. And you know, there's a book out there. Many people have it or have read it in various editions or iterations of Dope Inc. If you haven't read that, that's a really insightful book about the drug trade, about the drug trafficking, and how we, especially the U.S., and going back a few decades even, are responsible for allowing this to flourish in the U.S., the drug, the cartels to flourish on the southern border. So we're fighting an enemy that is funded by our own government, but financed by our own government. When I say we're fighting them, I'm saying we, the people, are fighting against this, but not doing very well. So, okay. And I want to thank you for all of that analysis. So I do want to give you a chance. I mean, wherever else you want to go, whatever is on your radar, make sure you, and folks, make sure you go to John Moore, thelibertyman.com, his website, and make sure you listen to his radio shows on a daily basis. A lot of great information, a lot of great guests, and support his work through his affiliates, his products, or direct donation. But thelibertyman.com, just fantastic, fantastic website source of information. But again, I want to give you the chance, whatever's on your radar.
Well, to keep peace with the household, my wife, Dr. Moore, I mean, my wife, Jane Moore, excuse me, I'll get in trouble for that. My wife, Jane Moore, has a new album. I'm showing it here.
All right. Look at that.
It's now available as of today on 150 digital platforms, including Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube, Aura, iHeart, Deezer, iTunes, Napster, BoomPlay, 150 total, including at my website. It's 12 original songs that my wife, Jane, put together. It makes fun of everything woke. It's a lot of fun. It's great to listen to, and it's available at my website at thelibertyman.com.
What's the name of that? I'm looking at it.
It's Time for a Miracle.
Time for a Miracle. Okay.
Yep. And it's available at thelibertyman.com as a digital download or a CD, either one, your choice.
All right. I did not know we had a musician?
Well, my wife has been a musician since she was 10 years old and spent a lot of time in Nashville as a professional musician and songwriter.
So
20 years, as a matter of fact.
It's making fun of everything woke. Is that what you're telling
Absolutely.
Me?
Absolutely.
All right.
Yeah, here's some of the titles. FAFO, which is a lot of people know what that means.
Yep.
The birds and bees. The next is Kiss Our Double A Double S. Then we have Don't Comply. Next is We're All Gonna Die. Then we have Please God Save Our Land. Then we have Red, White, and Right. Then It's Time for a Miracle. Then Who's Driving a Clown Car Today? Then we have Words Twisted Like a Hurricane. Next is The Clock Keeps Ticking. And finally, The Pledge of Allegiance, an interesting version of that.
Wow. Okay.
How about that?
Very good. Well, definitely props to your wife for that release. And folks, you can find that at thelibertyman.com.
Absolutely.
I'm going to be checking that out because I need it.
I need a mailing address. I'll get you a copy of the album. I'll mail it to you, Doug.
All right. Yeah. I definitely need a laugh after the everything that's gone on over the past couple of weeks. So I got to ask you, what is your take on what's happening in our elections, federal elections? We know that we have a huge problem coming up because of the machines and such. But even before that, you've got somebody who wasn't even nominated by voters, who lost in the primary.
She was the first person to drop out of the Democratic primary in 2020.
Yeah.
The first.
And now she's being rebranded and deified into this whatever
this is. It's not
going to work.
Not going to work.
You don't think so?
No, I don't think so. The media's got a lot of power, but they can't turn this woman into the second coming. They can't do that. But I do want to refer people to the documentary 2000 Mules.
Yes.
If you haven't seen it, you need to. 6 or 8 years ago, advocating paper ballots counted at the precinct level was looked at as some kind of strange, bizarre activity, not to be taken seriously. Now we have President Trump taking it seriously and advocating nationwide that we have paper ballots, preferably with a carbon copy, counted at the precinct level. And I'm advocating that myself. Everybody should advocate it in their jurisdiction. It's getting a bit late to be doing it for the upcoming election, but if it can be done, it needs to be done. And
needs to happen. Okay, so now I agree with that 100%. One-day voting, you go there, you know, I show ID. ID must be required. You have to be a citizen. Paper ballots and people there to count and others to oversee the counting to keep them honest. And if necessary, somebody to oversee the counters who are keeping the counters honest. So
yeah, no pizza boxes covering the windows.
Exactly. So, okay. So having said that, how do you feel? Over the weekend, I got in the mail absentee ballots.
Here's what you do. This is Mike Lindell, not John Moore.
Yes.
Do not open it up. Do not open it up. Go to the polling place on the first Tuesday of November with the unopened mail-in ballot and attempt to vote. If they tell you, oh, sir, oh, madam, you've already voted, then you take out the unopened mail-in ballot and say, here, take a look at this. That's also what needs to happen nationwide, Doug.
Okay, because I've been hearing from a lot of people asking me, and I frankly, look, other than you, Mike Lindell, and some others in that Brandon House and such, I suppose it's up to you, but if we are to keep that concept of one-day voting, and I think it's important to do that, we don't, you know, unless you're sick. But the concept behind the absentee ballots, because people on the right are saying, look, use them because you don't know what could happen. Something could happen. Use them and get your vote in early. I mean, John Fredericks from Pittsburgh was saying that, you know, he would use that. So there's differing opinions on the conservative side about what to do with those. But it's good to know what Mike Lindell thinks.
Well, we've got a movement, and we really need to win this election this coming November, the first Tuesday of November. It's not optional. 4 more years of Democratic rule will finish us off as a republic, I believe. It is that serious.
Do you think? Okay, yeah, and I 100% agree. I don't care who the hell's on the left. I don't care. But because whoever, look, even if Biden was still, you know, relevant, but now it's Harris, it doesn't really matter. Nor does it matter who the vice presidential pick for Harris would be. But do you think, is Harris going to be the nominee? I
seriously doubt it.
Okay.
I seriously doubt it.
Because, I've been hearing.
It'll be an open convention. It looks like she's going to be, but it's foolish to have her on the ticket. It really is. She's not mentally competent to enter. She needs to enter a debate with Trump. I don't know how she can get out of it. Trump will sweep the floor with her, and there's no doubt about that. How she can rationalize not debating President Trump is beyond me.
Well, the way she's rationalizing it is saying, okay, we agreed, or I shouldn't say we, meaning the Biden campaign agreed to a September 10th debate. Donald Trump said, okay, fine. I mean, he somewhat committed to that September 10th date. Now it's a different candidate, Kamala Harris, and Donald Trump says, look, I'll debate you, but not at ABC, which, by the way, he's in litigation against. So there's somewhat of a conflict of interest there. But he said, let's do it on the 4th, and let's do it on Fox with Brett Baer. And I'm not sure who the other individual moderator would be. So the left is spinning that as Donald Trump is backing out of the debate. That's not quite the correct story. So
people won't buy it. They won't.
Well, you know, but here's what I'm really concerned with, John, and help me out with this. I'm absolutely convinced, and folks, this does not include you, believe me, but I'm convinced there are a lot of stupid people out there, or a lot of gullible people, or a lot of people who have been completely brainwashed. Despite going into the grocery store and having sticker shock on groceries, despite the gas prices, despite the turmoil in the Middle East, they believe that Donald Trump can't be elected at any cost, regardless of the fact that there were no wars, prices were down, inflation was down 1.4% upon his leaving. So, you know, there are a lot of people who are speaking up for Harris. But again, man, I don't know. So what's your prediction as to what's going to happen if you dare to make one?
Well, you made a statement a moment ago, Doug, about people being stupid. I'm going to expand on that. Now, in the modern age, you don't have to go to a library, look it up. The rate of literacy in the United States, half the adults in this country are either semi or completely illiterate. Half the population of this country is either illiterate or semi-literate. Does that qualify as stupid? I think it does.
Yeah.
Of course it does.
Yeah.
And
hey, watch a TikTok video, and it's demonstrated there. Yeah, go ahead.
Right. Well, whoever can convince the most semi-literate or illiterate people is going to win the election. That's a fact. There's no doubt about that. None whatsoever. And my belief is that on the Democratic side has a much higher percentage of illiterate and semi-literate people. I don't have any scientific basis for that, but that's my belief. Where the people on the Republican, the Trump side, have a far lower percentage of illiterate and semi-literate people.
Well, I have to agree with you on that, because for anyone to fall for the lies of the left, or to embrace them, or to even worse, to espouse them publicly. I mean, you got to be. Are you nuts? Are you just stupid? Are you gullible? Blink twice if somebody's holding you at gunpoint. I mean, I just don't know. Go. I mean, yeah. It's so you're right though. I think. And John, I lastly here, I had to watch MSNBC this weekend for reasons that I don't think I'll ever be able to talk about this anymore. But anyway, I'll be in therapy. It'll be years before I can talk about watching MSN. But Townsend, I think, was the black female's name with nails that were like 7 inches long filed to apply. I mean, I don't even know how people can do that. But the appearance aside, the gaudy appearance aside, I just am stymied, John, by the left's lies about saving democracy, about the, hey, words matter, this is not a democracy, about Donald Trump is going to be a dictator, all of the lies that they're embracing.
All the things we heard in 2016.
Yes, yes. Which,
if they didn't come true in 2016, why would they come true now?
Man, you got it. So anyway, I'm very concerned about the safety of Donald Trump. Now,
as well you should be.
Do we talk since then?
No, we have not.
Okay.
No.
I gotta ask you, what do you make of that? What happened on the 13th of July? What are your people telling you about that?
Well, within less than 24 hours, Mike Adams had an audio analysis of that. Our mutual friend Sam Andrews, by the way, has done an audio analysis, and you may already be aware of this, but Sam has been asked to be an expert witness at a grand jury at Butler, Pennsylvania, on the attempted assassination. No details yet. We just talked this morning, but a judge called him, asked him if he would be an expert witness, and Sam agreed to, and there's a subpoena being sent to Sam for this grand jury.
Oh, you heard it here second, folks, because I'm sure you reported on that, right?
Yes. Okay. Yes, of course.
And that's why you got to tune in to John Moore's show.
Right. Well, that was reported a week ago today, by the way.
Yes.
I've had some of the training of a sniper, not all of it. I can hit a 6-inch moving target at 600 yards, which is pretty extraordinary, to say the least. And, of course, I've done a lot of covert operations where moving with stealth and quietness was part of the job. We now have the audience may not be aware of this, a Secret Service whistleblower who says that the Secret Service was put on standdown.
Exactly. I'm very well aware of that.
Now, I was in charge of security for a presidential candidate for one day. That was Pat Buchanan, a one-day event in St. Louis. And we pulled it off with no issues whatsoever. So I've had that responsibility. No Secret Service involved at that time. All my men, we had four layers of security. They could all talk to each other. And that was mandatory. We had to have all our people be able to talk to each other to successfully pull that off. The Secret Service did not show up for the morning briefing of that event in Butler, Pennsylvania. They simply didn't show up.
Right.
The command and control center that the Secret Service had on site could not talk to the police that were on site. That's unacceptable, which violates every protocol of every operation of that type. I've been part of security details for not only Pat Buchanan, but Ambassador Alan Keyes, Charlton Heston, and even Jane Fonda, and dozens of people you've never heard of. But, you know, those four high-level people. And I know how to do it. I know how to do it right. And what they did was simply not acceptable that day in Butler, Pennsylvania.
So the whistleblower, just so people know, it's my understanding, and correct me, but the whistleblower, a stand-down order occurred. There are multiple levels, but the one particular order that is really disconcerting involves the area of the oversight of the roof. Is that right?
Okay. Exactly.
All right. So also last week released very quietly was the fact that a no-fly zone, which should have been in effect for hours before President Trump took the stage, was only in effect for less than 90 minutes. And that allowed crooks or whoever to fly that drone over that area. So, you know, there were a lot of dare I say, failed? Do you think this was, well, do you think this was facilitated by members within as opposed to pure incompetence?
Well, you and I live in a world of evidence, Doug, and the evidence shows tremendous incompetence. The evidence does not show intent yet that I'm aware of.
At what point, though, John, does incompetence at that level? I mean, you've got to try to be that. I mean, you've got to try to mess up that bad, in my view, okay? You're kind of like an actor. If an actor,
I don't want to speculate. I want evidence. Now, Dan Bongino, who was a Secret Service agent, has been on this really heavy, as we might expect. And he said the following: the Secret Service counter sniper teams are only allowed to go at no specific distance, but within a quote unquote a comfortable drive from Washington D.C.
Yeah, that's a 1 day drive, actually. Yeah.
That's the Secret Service is a $3 billion with a B dollar budget.
Exactly.
You know, they couldn't get on a plane with their guns. I've flown on many planes with guns. It's not a big deal. If they're flying commercial with that kind of budget, I think they could take a military hop, you know, for example, or some other government controlled transportation.
One would think.
One would think. The Secret Service has drone capabilities. They chose not to exercise the drone capabilities that day for reasons I don't understand. But the 20-year-old had his own drone.
Yeah.
And was on site the day of the event, flying his own drone. And how crazy is that?
Well, exceptionally crazy. And he was a busy boy, I'll say that, immediately before the, up to the moment he was allegedly shot. And I say that, obviously, because, well, although the Butler County coroner issued a answer to a public access records request or doing their duty, you know, you've got the name, address, age.
And it's just a cover sheet. That's all of it. I mean, it's a cover sheet.
That's fine, but that's the only verification beyond the statement made by Secret Service or Ray or maybe both, that it was in fact Crooks at the that was on that roof. But go ahead.
Well, just like you, Doug, I've been through many complete coroner reports in great detail, and what I'd be interested in would in the forensics would be the blood analysis. What was in this boy's blood in terms of chemicals, pharmaceutical products, and so forth? If there's anything in his blood, including psychotropic drugs or other type products, I would really like to know that, Doug.
I would too. And how about some basics like a GSR test on his hands? Did he fire the weapon? I'm just asking. But
was he wearing gloves of some type or not? I'm not sure.
I don't believe so. There were pictures allegedly of him wearing shorts, long pants. You know, look, man, I'm seeing some stuff that is really disconcerting out there. Now we have to authenticate those, but
gunshot residue test is imperative.
Yeah,
there's no doubt about that.
Yeah, and I'm sure it was done. It had to, I mean, unless you're a complete moron,
right?
I only saw one gunshot case where the GSR test was not done, and that was back in 1978, I believe it was. And it was a total screw up. So anyway, but okay. Yeah. But
expended shells from his little carbine up there would be critical also.
Yeah.
One or more expended shell casings.
And Sam was on talking about the wind, how the wind would affect that. I was pretty cool on that until, really, that makes
wind played a role. And of course, I've undergone Sam's training twice for precision marksmanship. And even though 140, 150 yards is not that far, it's far enough to cause a rather lightweight bullet to deviate an inch or two. So it did play a role.
Okay. I've come to that realization after some grueling research myself and talking with other other people that in fact could have played a role. I know you don't like to speculate, but all right. So beyond that, the danger to President Trump still exists, and I am concerned, deeply concerned about his welfare, especially under this director, Ronald Roe. I do believe that this guy is obviously responsible for a lot of things, including his role in deletion of texts on January 6th, his inability to gather proper assets, and declining the same to President Trump. So, you know, I think it's going to happen again, or an attempt's going to be made again. Just saying.
Well, there's a lot, the New World Order wants President Trump. There's no doubt about that. Yeah. I just looked up a statistic regarding literacy a moment ago. According to the U.S. Department of Education, 54% of adults in this country lack English literacy proficiency.
And I think a lot of that 50, I think a very significant percentage of that 54% have been imported or allowed to come into this country. I don't know what
right.
the data
of course,
is.
Of course you have to include them,
yeah.
obviously.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think that's the, obviously done on purpose. All right. You're the military guy. Your thoughts on what's taking place overseas with Israel? Should we be ducking and covering under our desks?
Well, yeah. The 1947 war was all fronts. They almost lost that. They brought women in to fight and so forth.
Yep.
The next big one, which was 1967, I was in the Army. They won that, obviously. And then I think the next one was 72. They beat the Muslims again, if I got it right. It's an entirely different situation now. Iran's going to be involved. I don't believe Iran was involved to any great extent in the three previous wars.
No, as a matter of fact, Iran was a westernized country until Jimmy Carter screwed with that whole
exactly,
thing.
Exactly. Yeah. Iran was our ally. Today we have Muslims running Iran. This is a large country with a large population that doesn't have to import high-tech weapons. They actually manufacture high-tech military weapons in Iran. It's a game changer. It really is a game changer. One of our drones, I think it was during the Obama administration, landed safely at an Iranian airport. and then the Iranians took it apart and reverse engineered that very expensive drone. Now they're building their own. Surprise, surprise. So Turkey has talked about, Turkey's another large country with a large industry. Turkey's talked about coming in on the side of the Muslims. This is a game changer. This war is a game changer. Israel will not be defeated. They are a nuclear power, and they'll send nukes to the capital of Turkey if they need to, the capital of Iran if they need to, in order to not lose this war. If it comes down to it, we will have the first nuclear weapons used this 1945, Doug, and that's what it's going to come down to if this war goes hot.
Everything I'm seeing right now shows a multi-pronged offensive against Israel, and Israel saying, hey, you know, we're going to respond not just in kind, but decisively. And I think that means perhaps the unleashing of some sort of tactical nuke. All right. John Moore, thelibertyman.com. Folks, the link to his website, as well as that great CD, is going to be under the program description or under the program heading for today's show, thelibertyman.com, John Moore. John, your thoughts. Take us out. Minute and a half left, roughly. Take us out.
Ultimately, it's a spiritual war, ladies and gentlemen. Prayer is powerful. Prayer works. We need to pray without ceasing. That's what we need to be doing, as well as making prudent preparations with a safe haven for your family, where they'll be safe from the coming turmoil, with a proprietary source of water, a good stock of food, a way to defend the family, radio communications. Get on it, and get on it now while you can.
Boy, truer words. And also, folks, make sure you have some money put aside, cash put aside. You can't depend on the banking system. And also, hey, make sure you're prepared medically. You can go to twc.health/Hagman or any place that would can where you can have something on hand in case you need it. John, thank you so much. I appreciate
it. Doug, thank you very much.
John Moore, thelibertyman.com. That's why he gets paid the big bucks, because he is the man, the Liberty Man. Thank you for tuning in. Appreciate your trust in this platform, your belief and trust in this platform. May God bless each and every one of you. Take care.